titled The Importance and the Significance of the Church. The Importance and the Significance of the Church. Matthew, the importance of things the things that you and I consider to be important are not always those things that are important to the Almighty God. We must be mindful of that. God's value system is different from ours. What is important to us is when we can grow to where what God values are also the things that we really value. Because the things that God values mean that they are valuable and important not just now, but even in the hereafter. Lot of the things that you and I put importance on, by tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, they no more carry that weight and value as they do now. So it is, you know, like when the Almighty God said that of all those who born of woman, none is greater than John the Baptist. Now that's saying a lot. You look at a man out there and he will tell you, I think the greatest person that was ever born is Alexander the Great. That's right. Another man, I think the greatest person that ever born was Nelson Mandela. And we can go on and go on and on. But God says of all those that are born of woman, none is greater than John the Baptist. And what I'm doing here is showing that the way God estimates and value and weigh things, we must keep in mind that God's value measurement transcends time. It transcends culture. So when we talk about the importance and the significance of the church, one of the things that you and I should hope we can grow toward is whereby day by day we come to appreciate and value and put emphasis on the things that God valued. That was one of the plus for Moses, who saw suffering with the children of God of more importance than all the wealth of Egypt. I don't know how that man did it. Because while we talk about we live in a materialistic age, and we do, men and women are not going to church now as they did 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's a fact. All over the world. In fact, it's when you read some of these worldwide or international magazines, you will see those facts brought out with detail, reason. So what I'm saying is that men and women are becoming more materialistic. But in Moses' time, the value and goal and power, as it is now, political power, monetary or economical power, those things were considered important then. Yet Moses, as a relatively young man, learn and grow close enough to God's standard that he could make a decision and realize that a right relationship with God was more valuable than anything else. So when we talk about the importance and the significance of the church, we are talking about how God sees it and hoping it will motivate us to grow to where we can see at least some of it by God. The entire book of Ephesians. In fact, I don't think that there's any other subject that grabs Paul's attention and effort in any other book of the 13 to 14 books he wrote as the church. So you have one entire book is about the church, the book of Ephesians. For example, you have take love, such an important subject. You have one whole chapter in the book of Corinthians, that is chapter 30, that is dedicated to that subject. All of 1 Corinthians 13 is discussing love. But that is just one chapter. Ephesians, I think, carries 6 chapters. And all 6 chapters are dealing with the church. The importance of the church. The significance of the church. The inevitability of the church. The inescapability of the church, and on, Ephesians. One, we start with the church of Christ, the church that Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I'll build my church, is the only blood-bought institution in the entire universe. There is no other institution. But Brother Mitchell, you have many times talked about the importance of the home. Yes. But the home is not as important as the church. When we read in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20 and verse 28, what it says there, quick. What it says there. Acts 20, 28.
Take heed therefore
unto yourselves
and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God.
Wait, you learn if you're here as a visitor. The church is an organization, but it's more an organism. Because it is alive. And the church must be fed. But Brother Mitchell, Lord, it's living things you feed. Well, that's why the church is fed. It is living. Amen. That's right. This is not the church. That's the church building. That's where we meet. Christians are the church. And here the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul in the book of Acts chapter 20, where the brother is reading from. Take heed unto yourself and to all the flock. Remember, it's the same church he referred to as the flock, you know. Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to do what?
To feed the church of God.
Uh-huh.
Which he has purchased with his own blood.
May I? There is no other institution in the universe that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Wait. Something you need to look into. The cost to purchase the church. The price paid for the church could not be your blood or my blood. Are we all there? Because we are sinful men and women, huh? Your blood couldn't purchase the church, that's why. The Almighty God did not try and find a perfect man to die for us. It wouldn't work. You cannot pay the price for your sin because you are contaminated by sin, by disobedience. Took a sinless, pure person in the person of Jesus Christ to shed his pure blood to purchase our salvation or the church. That's how important the church is. It was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if I need to, I repeat again that no other institution in the universe had this price being paid for it. God consider the church that important. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Just a point there about the church. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Let us hear it.
But Christ as a son over his own house.
You know what that house is? The church. Christ as a son. And you notice the ownership business there spoken about? But Jesus Christ as a son over his own house.
Uh-huh. Whose house are we?
Are we all there? We are the house of God. At the same time, we are the church of Christ. Same thing. But it is a blood-bought institution. And it's not just any blood. The church of Christ is the one and only bride of Christ. That's right. And here, it's a type of metaphor where it is likening Christ to be the husband. The church is Christ's bride. Look at, I think, if my memory serves me right, it is Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 3, I think.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away,
mm-hmm.
and there was no more sea.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw John, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven,
uh-huh.
prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
That's the church, you know. That's the church it is talk about. Prepared, it's talk about the finality of things, at the end, the church prepare You notice it is the bride that we wait for at wedding. And sometime after charge them double. Truly. Because I'll give them 30, 45 minutes to be late. At 1 hour, we have our wedding set 2 hours apart. There are times when I had 2 weddings on the same day. And I set them 2.5 hours apart. And the first one was so late that when people coming in for the second one, they come meet up on the first wedding still going on. And it's usually the bride. And the bride always looked beautiful. Well, my God, in the Bible I see same thing. Read that again.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I saw John, the holy city.
And I, John,
saw the holy city.
The holy city.
New Jerusalem.
The new Jerusalem.
Coming down from God out of heaven. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Are we all there? That is verse what?
Verse 2.
Read on to verse 3.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
Verse 9.
And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which are the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Are we all there? The bride here is the church of Christ, but this is the church in its glorification. When things end, and that's how important. There is no other thing on earth that is referred to or called the bride of Christ as is the church of Christ here. But not only is the church the one blood-bought institution, not only is the church the bride of Christ, the church is the body of Christ. Now, this is a significant designation or metaphor. When the Bible tells us that the church is Christ's body. Let us turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22 and 23. We are talking about the importance and the significance of the church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. We'll start at 21, brother. Thank you. Read.
Far above all principality.
And have put all things under his feet.
And has put all things
under his feet.
That is under Jesus' feet.
And gave him.
Wait. Everything is subordinate to Christ. May I? Satan is under Christ's feet. We must never think that Satan is a co-equal with God or with Christ. We have had Wednesday night Bible study here about Christ reigning and what, and discussed that. So whatever you might be going through, remember there is a power that is much bigger than Satan's power. We must ever remember that. Read, brother.
and hath put all things under his feet,
mm-hmm.
and gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
To the church.
Which is his body.
The church is the body of Christ. Wait. Here is the, to understand the metaphor. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, from all practicality, and head need a body to carry out the dictation of the head.
Yeah.
Hence, the church is Christ's body. That's it. Wait. This is where you and I come in. All that Jesus Christ has to be done on earth going to be done by the body. That's why you and I have to work in the church. All the things to be accomplished here for heaven. All what Christ died for and died about. It is to be carried out by the body. Head gives the direction. The head gives the instruction. But it is the body that carries out. And gave him to be the head over all things.
To the church. Which is his body.
Watch here now. You would think that the rest of what follow has nothing to do with it. That's very important.
Yeah.
Notice what follows. Which is his body.
The fullness of him. That filleth all in
you,
all.
You notice? After I point out that the church is the body of Christ, the fullness, whatever, that word fullness means the
completion.
The completion of Christ.
Yeah.
The fullness of him. Are we all there? Fullness of him. The him there is Christ. Eh? What is the fullness of Christ? The church. What does the fullness mean, Brother Mitchell? Completion. The church is that which complete Jesus Christ. That is Jesus's ability to carry out the work of salvation. Are we there? To continue what he has accomplished at Calvary, to continue leading men to Christ. So that they can be forgiven, and that in preparing them for life hereafter, the church can guide them in the development of a Christ-like character. Hence, the church completes Christ. But I can say that another way. No? Jesus Christ consider himself incomplete without the body or the church. That's so important, that last phrase here is, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is not simply the body of Christ, it is the completion of Christ. That's how important God sees the church. I was about to say something else, but I will be going ahead of myself. So that the church is the only divine blood-bought institution in the entire universe. The church is the one and only bride of Christ. Wait. When I said that, this is one of the areas. Well, God does not believe in polygamous relationship. Are we out here? But Brother Mitchell, didn't he permit it under the Old Testament? You have used the right word, permit. Polygamy has always been sinful and godly wrong. It did not originate in God. It was man's disobedience and sinfulness which introduced polygamous relationship. A man have one or two or three wives. That was wrong. Christ has one wife, that is the church. Are we all there? To have Jesus Christ, who tell us that he's going to build how many church? One. And the Bible make this plain. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 4 to verse 6 makes this plain, that in the same way there is one God, one baptism, one faith, that is one body of belief, there is also one true church. And what that passage is teaching, that in the same way you have but one God, one only. You don't have 3, 4, 5, 6 God. Same way you have one true church. Only one. Are we all there? So the church of Christ is the body of Christ. The church is so important to the Almighty God that the unfolding, of God's eternal purpose is taking place in and through the church. Are we all there? What did I say? The unfolding of God's eternal purpose is taking place in and through the church. Let us look at the passage of Ephesians chapter 3 from our own verse 9. Chapter 3, Ephesians.
And to make all men see.
And to make all men see.
What is the fellowship of the mystery?
What is the fellowship of the mystery?
Which from the beginning of the world.
Which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God.
Who created all things.
The same God who created all things.
By Jesus Christ.
By Jesus Christ.
To the intent that now.
Wait. For this purpose. The phrase there. To the intent, mean with this in mind. That is, whatever God had in his plan and purpose from the beginning that was hid in God, meaning nobody knew about it. Why the Almighty God have it hidden for so long? This is what God had in mind. To the intent
that now.
When God had a time in view, now meaning when, Brother Mitchell, that means the New Testament era, it means the time of Jesus Christ, now,
unto the principalities,
unto the principality,
and powers,
and the power
in heavenly places, might be known by the church.
That now, unto the principalities
and powers,
where?
In heavenly places.
Who is that, or what is that? That's angels. among other things, the principalities and powers in heavenly places. It's referring to angels. Read.
Might be known by the church.
I'm always fascinated by this passage. Because what this passage is telling us, just your attention, I mean, is that God's eternal purpose that was kept hidden in God from the beginning is now being made known. But it's not just being made known to man. Part of the emphasis here is that it's being made known to principalities and powers in heavenly places. That is, and what is striking, it is the church to which the principalities and powers in heavenly places going to learn, going to be instructed, going to be enlightened by the church. What?
Might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God.
It's not just wisdom, you know. It's wisdom that is like a diamond. It has many sides. That's the word. The word manifold, many-sided. The church is not just teaching human beings and enlightening them. The Almighty God fixes it that the principalities, the higher being in heavenly places, going to be instructed through the church of Christ. That is a fact. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. That the unfolding of God's purpose in and through the church, not only is it made known to angel, but it makes angel inquisitive. Somebody said, we ain't get that wrong. Don't let me turn to the book of Peter because time has already been going too much. You had read to verse 11, brother?
According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
That's right. It is God's eternal purpose. It was planned by God from the eternal past. And it is being carried out now by Jesus Christ and his church. That's how important the church is. Not only that, the church of Christ is composed of all those who believed and obeyed the gospel of Christ. Very important. Simple statement. That means just being a religious man or woman doesn't make any of us Christian and followers of Christ. Jesus Christ has specific conditions which must be met before the blood of Jesus Christ can apply to our lives. Very important that if you are in our audience as a visitor that you know this. It's not just that you get religious and you tell yourself, I'm going to church today, and you're left feeling so holy and so religious. No, just attending church does not make anybody holy. It's when we obey the gospel of Christ and give Jesus Christ a chance to remove our sins through his blood in baptism. Did I pick a wrong card there. Just praying does not bring forgiveness unless you have been properly taught and had been baptized. If then you have strayed, you have sinned, then you can pray. But other than that, if you're a man or woman who had never become a Christian the Bible's way, you pray and fast from now until thy kingdom come. The gospel of Christ says you are still where you got started when you finished that fasting. Fast for 10 years, 1 year, two, whatever. And that does not address your sin. What will address your sin is faith. Confessing Jesus' name, repenting of your sin, and getting baptized. You must get baptized in order to be saved. Oh, Mine, no, sir, that's what this church preaches. Yes, that's what this church preaches, but this church is preaching it because it is from heaven, because it is in the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then if Nicodemus is there wondering, what do you mean? He said, you must be born of the Spirit and of the water. That new birth must involve the Holy Spirit and it involve water. What did I say that the church of Christ is composed of those who believe and obey the gospel of Christ. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 47. We are talking about the importance and the significance of the church. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, verse 41 and 47.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, praising God and having favor with all the people.
Stop there a while. Verse 41 again.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized.
You see, that's the attitude you must have in becoming a Christian. It's not a thing you do reluctantly. You have no reason to be reluctant about forming a relationship with God. Notice these people gladly received the word. What receiving the word mean? It means that they believed it. They accepted it and they submitted their lives to it. And they did it gladly. Did you know that God made a provision that you right now today can do the same thing? Then listen, verse 47. Wait. Verse 41 tells us what they did, the prospective convert, and what you ought to do and can do today. But then, notice verse 47, what God did. You see, in salvation, you have your part as a sinner and you have God's part. So we have just been told in verse 41 what God did. Let us hear verse 41, what man did, what the prospective convert did, what the person becoming a Christian did. In verse 47 now.
Praising God. And having favor with all the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord.
Wait, who? The Lord? What he did?
Added to the church daily.
Wait, you get this? You are here as one of our beloved visitors. You are our honored guest. When you learn something of that, you don't join the true church. You got that? You don't join the true church. You are added. Did it say that the Lord added to the church? Yes, sir. Daily, such as should be saved. You never join the true church of Christ. What you do, you are out. We do what God says ought to be done. We believe, repent, confess Christ's name, and get baptized in water. Wait. Remember too that God's baptism is not sprinkling. It never was, it never is, and it will never be. It's a burial. When you do what God says, then God does his part. He adds you to his church. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God welcomes you as a part of his family.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to stop right here, so. There are 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There are about 6, 7 more points, but I intend to just run through this lesson. But it's never good just to run through a lesson. So I'm going to let the rest stay. I'm not sure it will be next week, but whenever it comes, you will be informed, be edified, and be enlightened by the rest of this lesson. We look at 5 or 6. When we pick up, we have another 5 or 6 point to look at. One of the things that will be undertaken when we begin this lesson again is that you can never be saved outside of the Church of Christ. That's right. People say, we don't have to go to any church to be saved. Come and learn from what the Bible says when we pick up on this lesson again. You learn that the church is so important, it is considered Christ's bride. You learn that the church, that these are things we have just covered. You learn that the church is so important that the Almighty God left the church here not only to inform you and your fellow human being, but also to enlighten principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's how important the church is. But there are some very other important things as we look on the importance and the significance of the church. One of the great things with this lesson, this first part, is that you have learned this morning that you can leave here today a saved man or a woman. You at least learned that. That you can make a decision right now to give your life to Jesus Christ. You can this morning believe that Christ died for your sins at Calvary. And that without that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no way that you or I or any man or woman could be saved. Christ did die at Calvary. Paid the price for your sin that you could not pay. And if you believe that, you can make a decision to repent of your sin. That is a decision to stop practicing wrong and start practicing right. You can make a decision to confess Christ's name as God's Son and follow that by being baptized. Yes, you don't have to take a year. The people that we read of in the book of Acts of the Apostles, Chapter 2, verse 47. That the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They did it the same day. There is another man coming from church. That man didn't know half what you know today. We refer to him as the Ethiopian nobleman. Once that man learned the truth in his chariot, we call it buggy or dray, he became a Christian same place. He didn't say, let me go home and think about it. Think about what? You need Jesus Christ. You are a sinner. If you believe that Jesus Christ gives you now to accept him, and you know what? He made us available to you to help you. You can step forward this morning and give your life to Jesus Christ. We are here to help you. Christ is ready to welcome you as we stand.